Did the disciples believe in ghosts since they thought that Jesus was a ghost when they saw him walking on water?
How is it fair that a man who commits murder but repents receives salvation, yet those he murdered may not have had a chance to accept salvation?
If you're wondering what the answers are to those questions, you're probably not alone. Stay tuned and find out what they are. I'm Inkosi Plummer.
And I'm Ruben Covarrubias. Bible Help Desk starts now. Welcome to Bible Help Desk, where you can find answers for life. I'm here today with my friend and special guest host, Inkosi Plummer. Inkosi, it's so good to have you here with us. I'm excited for today's program.
Thanks, Ruben. I'm excited as well. It's always been a pleasure watching Bible Help Desk. I feel like it has so much wisdom to offer.
Absolutely.
If you're a longtime viewer of Bible Help Desk, you know what I'm talking about. But if you're new, Bible Help Desk gives you a chance to get your questions answered straight from the Word of God. You can send in your questions by calling or texting us at 833-BIBLE-HD or sending them to us via Facebook, Instagram, or through our website at hopetv.org/BibleHelpDesk. If possible, leave us an email so we can contact you back. So, Ruben, I know we have some great questions today.
Yes, we do. And we have some great guests that are going to be answering our panelists. And first, I'd like to introduce Dr. Glenn Russell. He was born in Egypt and grew up in Lebanon. He also has served as a pastor, an educator, and most recently as a professor and chair of the Department of Religion and Biblical Languages at Andrews University. Also, he is the host of the weekly radio and media program Scriptural Pursuit. Dr. Russell, it is so good to have you here with us today.
What a joy to join you to study God's Word.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Awesome. And today we also have Dr. Oleg Kostyuk, originally from Ukraine, currently serves as an assistant professor of religion at Advent Health University in Florida. You may also recognize him from other programs on Hope Channel, such as Cross Connections and Revolutionary. Dr. Oleg, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, let's go ahead and dive into God's Word before we get into our questions. And I want to turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 13, where it says, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. I just love the beginning of this where it says, God is faithful. We could probably end it right there, but we can see that it provides an example of how God is always there with us. He is faithful. And when we are tempted, he always has a way out of this temptation so we can continue praying to him and trusting in him. So let's bow our heads as we open up God's Word. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this promise in your word. And as we dive into the Bible, may we just see you throughout the scriptures, throughout the answers that we have for the questions from our viewers. Thank you so much for being with us through this program and for sending your Holy Spirit to be with us. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
So Inkosi, what is the first question that we have?
So we actually got a text and the question says, if a man commits murder but repents and receives forgiveness, what about the people whom he murdered, who did not have a chance to accept salvation? Wow, that's a deep question.
Yes, it is.
We're gonna toss this over to Dr. Oleg. What does the Bible have to say about this question?
Thanks, Inkosi, for tossing it to me. But yes, thank you. So what is interesting, undeniably, so a person, even if they kill Jesus, both Lord and Christ, and they ask for forgiveness, they're forgiven. This is surprising. And we can find it in Acts chapter 2, verses 36 and 37. So let's go there for a second. This is what it says. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And then we read the continuation. Peter says, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. So undeniably, those people who ask forgiveness, they're forgiven.
I'm still processing that answer.
Yeah.
Because that's a very deep question. I know so many people have questions about that. Like, you know, you've done something wrong. And it's just like, how can you get forgiveness from God? Can God forgive that? I know that's a very deep question. Dr. Glenn Russell, do you have any words to that from the Bible?
I like so much what Oleg said. I would just want to reinforce what he suggested so clearly is God is a God of mercy. We can see that, for example, in the way that he deals with Saul, who was himself a murderer. He had been a persecutor. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, he says, I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, yet I was shown mercy. So God is a God of mercy, extending even to the guilty, not just to the innocent, but even to the guilty. Now, if God will show that much mercy to the guilty, to those who crucified him, those who persecuted his followers, he will certainly show mercy to those who we don't know their condition when they died, such as those who may have been tragically murdered. So I would want to say that I'm more than happy to leave this in the hands of a loving God. He will be fair and he will be merciful. He knows each heart and each life. There's no second chance, but based on our lives, he will be good to us. One sentence I often think of is, before God acts in judgment, he always sends a warning and provides a way of escape. All through history, before he acts in judgment, he sends a warning and a way of escape. That's God's justice and mercy as they come together.
Wow.
Thank you, Dr. Glenn. Ruben, I'm just thinking about these answers here. Yeah. And something that I see between these two answers is that, you know, God is the judge.
Yes.
You know, and it's not up to us to judge, because if it was up to us, we would just be completely wrong. So thank you so much, Dr. Glenn and Dr. Oleg, for those answers, those meditative answers, really, just to really think about. But I know we have a lot more questions. I'm sure we can talk about that all day.
We could talk about it all day because these questions are so in-depth and we want to go be able to dive more. Right. So let's jump into our next question that came to us via Facebook from Jacqueline. And it said, Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. On the day of transfiguration, Moses and Elijah were present and also when Jesus died. A lot of saints went up to heaven. Can you explain then why we will not be taken to heaven the same day we die? Wow, this is probably a famous text that is debated very extensively. So I want to turn to you, Dr. Russell, the expert here. Where can we turn in the Bible? Because I know from my own experience, I've had discussions on what the text says when Jesus says this to a thief. And now the question is bringing in other examples of what happens to us when we die. So how do we start this discussion and from the Bible?
Many times people start this discussion by just going to the text and looking at it. And Jesus said to them, today you'll be with me in paradise. And they say, well, where's the comma? Is it before today or after today? But let's put that to rest. There was no punctuation in the original text. And when people speak, they don't speak with punctuation. So we have to look beyond that. Jesus said, you will be with me in paradise. Did he go to paradise today? The scriptures are very clear that that wasn't the case. When Jesus met Mary on resurrection morning, Sunday morning, he told her, do not touch me, I have not yet ascended to my Father. So he has not yet ascended to his Father, which is where paradise is. Paradise is to be with God. And so Jesus did not go to paradise the day he died. He went to the grave. So what is he saying to this man? He is telling the thief who has incredible faith. Listen, this thief never saw a miracle. He never heard a sermon of Jesus. He watched Jesus dying and said, I believe you're the Messiah. And Jesus says, you know what? I give you the absolute assurance right now. You will be with me in paradise. That's your eternal destiny. You'll be with me. So when a person dies, they don't go straight to heaven. They go to the grave. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we see some clarity that comes to this. It says in the scriptures that For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Of course, that means that there will be more who will be raised. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds of the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. You see, God has this wonderful reunion plan. When all of our loved ones and friends and those who are asleep in Jesus are raised on the resurrection morning, there'll be two resurrections of the righteous and the wicked. When the righteous are raised, there will be a reuniting of those being translated alive and those raised from the dead who will go to heaven to be with God. What an assurance that we have. And Jesus gave that thief that assurance that day. Jesus didn't go to paradise that day. He went to the grave, but Friday it was, but Sunday was coming, and the resurrection morning gave reality to the truth that Jesus expressed.
Wow, so powerful. Sunday is coming, and thank you, Dr. Russell, for taking us through that journey and the examples that we see from the Bible of where Jesus was during that time when he was dead, and when hopefully we can put to rest some of the debate in this discussion. Dr. Oleg, I want to turn to you. What can we add to this great answer that Dr. Russell has started with this question?
Yeah, definitely a great answer. Just one element that I would like to add is, from a biblical perspective, we see that God cares for the body as much as he cares for the soul. Mm. So it's the whole person care. And when we think about traditional religions or philosophical perspectives, in some other religions, the soul will go and will be resurrected. From the biblical perspective, the entire body will be resurrected. Mm. You all will be restored. And that is very unique, but at the same time, it's the greatest hope that we have, not only for our souls, but I want my body to be also resurrected. I want myself, all of me, be restored.
Wow, so powerful, bringing those two elements together. Dr. Oleg, thank you so much for that, and I hope our viewers have been able to dive in a little bit more into God's Word. Amen. With the answers to these questions.
If you haven't yet checked out our Bible study resource site at hope.study, be sure to do so. New courses are constantly being added. And as always, you can also receive free Bible study courses by mail. If you're in North America, just call and leave us your address, and we will mail those study guides out to you. We're going to go for a quick break, but we'll be right back. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Bible Help Desk is your place to go to for answers straight from the Bible. If you have a Bible question you'd like answered, you can go ahead and text us your questions or call us and leave us a voicemail at 833-BIBLE-HD. You can also message us via our Facebook or Instagram accounts or visit our website at hopetv.org/BibleHelpDesk.
Our panelists answering your questions are Dr. Oleg Kostiok and Dr. Glenn Russell.
Well, I'm excited to get these questions going again, so let's go back to the question that we have that came to us via text. And it says, I heard one pastor say that when Jesus comes back, God the Father will come with him. I heard another pastor say that teaching is false. What's your take on it? So we have a little bit of a pastoral debate. So Dr. Oleg, I'm going to turn to you first. What is the take on this question? Does the Bible refer to this of when Jesus comes back and the Father coming with him as well? What does the Bible say?
Let the pastors continue the debate. That is one. But besides that, it's also interesting that the Bible is not very clear about it. And that is probably why the debate continues. Mm-hmm. But there's a couple of verses. So one verse is Matthew chapter 26, verse 64. And let's go there for a second. This is what Jesus says. Jesus said to him, it is as you said, nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power. And in this case, power probably refers to God, and coming on the clouds of heaven. So there is an indication that probably when Jesus is coming also with the Father, and the Holy Spirit is present because the Holy Spirit is also among us. So that's why the Trinity is involved in this restoration of humanity. Mm-hmm. So that is one element. And then there's also another verse, Revelation chapter 8, verse 1. And we can probably say that this also refers to the fact when Jesus with the Father are coming to earth, because it says when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. So maybe that was the time when that would be the time when God and Jesus are coming to earth. But in any case, what we need to understand and remember, the Trinity is involved in restoration of humanity.
Mm. Wow, always goes back to that restoration of humanity. Wow. And I just love that. Thank you, Dr. Olick, for that. And just saying, let the debate continue, because that's what we're here for, continuing the discussion so we can continue diving deeper into the Bible. And speaking of that, Dr. Russell, I want to turn to you. Where else can we turn to in the Bible when it comes to this question? Dr. Olick opened it up very nicely. What else can we add to it?
Well, I would just want to agree, surprisingly, with Dr. Olick, and that is that let's remember what event this is. This is the cosmic return of Jesus Christ mm-hmm. for his people. I can't imagine God the Father not being part of that. The Father and Son, before the foundation of the earth, planned this story, this rescue mission. And certainly the Father will be there together. They will be coming to welcome home their children. Mm-hmm. This cosmic event, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, they're all involved because they're excited to offer us eternity.
Wow, such an amazing picture there. I've seen God the Father and the Son here because of the love they have for us, wanting to be here for that event. Thank you Amen. So much for those answers. Well, Nkosi, what question do we have next? I'm excited about it.
So yeah, we actually got a question from Facebook from Rosemary, and she says, did the disciples believe in ghosts since they thought that Jesus was a ghost when they saw him walking on the water? Wow. Okay, let's see. Dr. Russell, can you tell us what the Bible has to say about this?
It's interesting to note that in the first century, many people widely believed in unseen supernatural forces that caused most of life's misfortunes. First century people believed the stars were living beings, intelligent and powerful, that there are great cosmic supernatural forces at work and so forth, spirits and demons that could influence at their own will all of our lives. And in the passage that you referred to, Mark chapter 6, I'd like to go to that now. In Mark chapter 6, you remember the setting, the disciples are on the sea. They're going over from Bethsaida, and it says in verse 49, and when they saw him, Jesus, walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost, and they cried out. Now, let's just pause there for a moment. Even if you didn't believe in ghosts, what would you give as an explanation? Here's someone walking across the water. Now, we know that destroys the laws of physics, so they have to come up with some explanation. They go back to the general belief that, well, it must be someone supernatural. By the way, later in Luke chapter 24, verse 37, when they're gathered in the upper room and Jesus has been raised from the dead and he comes to be with them, it says in Luke chapter 24, verse 37, and they were startled and frightened. They supposed that they had seen a spirit. You see, Jesus now has his resurrected spiritual body. That the body is important, as Dr. Olick said earlier. But this, he is able to walk through walls and enter into rooms, and they don't have an explanation for it. It has to be one of two things. Either this is God at work, or this is an evil force. Hmm. So remember, there's no disembodied spirits or ghosts in Scripture. There's two kinds of supernatural beings, evil angels or good angels. Mm-hmm. There's God or the devil, and everything has to be in one side or the other. Mm-hmm. No zombies, no spirits, no ghosts. And they apparently believed, to some extent, in ghosts, but this phantasm, as the Greek says here, from which we get our word phantasm, the phantasm of this apparition was in fact their Lord and Savior. The real point of this story is only Jesus can walk on water because Jesus is God. Mm-hmm. It's evidence of his divinity.
Make no mistake who God is.
Right. That's right.
Wow. Praise God. Dr. Olick, do you have just an answer to this question from the Bible?
Yes, I'll just add to excellent answer that Dr. Russell offered. For the mind of Jews, early Jews, Judaism, as well as Greeks, they thought that many ghosts, in fact, live in the water. Hmm. So that's why Poseidon, god of water, and that's why even those beasts in the book of Revelation, they emerge from the water, because the water is the place where all these spirits dwell. And here we see Jesus walking on top of all those spirits. No joke. This guy is better than anybody else.
Facts.
Wow.
That's an amazing imagery just to think, you know, like God is over all the supernatural.
Yeah. I had never thought of that myself, and it's such a wonderful point to see that when we see it in context.
Right.
That's the beauty that we have here in this program, that we can see that. That was wonderful.
Awesome. Yes.
Well, let's go ahead and turn to our next question that came to us via text. And it says, the Bible says every knee shall bow. Does that include the devil and demons? Wow, this is a very powerful question. And I myself, honestly, have never thought of it that way. Mm. But Dr. Oleg, what does the Bible say about every knee shall bow? We have a viewer here that's wondering, does this also include the devil and the demons and his followers?
Yeah, excellent question. Thank you. So let's go to Philippians chapter 2, verses 8. So we will begin with verse 8, 9, and 11, through 11. So let's read it. So it begins with this statement, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then it continues, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So this is about Jesus. And then let's move to the next verse. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So what is very interesting here, that we see that Jesus humbles himself, and that the element of humility, this is something, when Jesus dies on the cross, humbles himself to the point of death, this elevates him to the point of being seated on the right hand of God. And that is why, because of this level of humility that elevates him, that's why God says that every knee should bow. So in all three realms, heaven, earth, and under the earth. Does it happen? I don't know. Do we bow down? I don't know, but this is what we should do. And the time will come. And the earth, that's why this free will is given to all. We should bow, because this is what we see, this amazing representation of God's love and kindness and compassion. But are we bowing down? That is the question for us to ponder on. We should, but do we?
Wow. So powerful that this question brought in another question, and that word should there, but it always points to that free will that we have, and that points to God's love for us. Dr. Oleg, thank you so much for guiding us at the beginning of this question. Dr. Russell, I want to turn to you here, give you the last word here on this question. What else can we add?
Just very quickly, Revelation 1:7 says, every eye will see him, including those who pierced him and all the tribes of earth. So this is a cosmic event. This is going to be the event that will be the time when everyone declares God is just. He has done what is right. The accusations of the evil one have been refuted, and God will be glorified by all. And no one will say, oh, I wasn't treated fairly. Rather, every knee will bow to say, God has been just and righteous and good. He has done what is right.
Wow. Amen. Such Amen. A powerful way to end our program, just to see that God will be glorified. I love that phrase and that promise that we can look forward to, because in those moments, you know, that we're, what is happening in this world, we realize that in the end, we will see that God was in control, and he will be glorified.
Amen.
And we just see it through these texts. Thank you.
Yeah.
I want to thank our experts, Dr. Oleg, Dr. Russell. We want to thank you so much for guiding us through these questions and through the Bible, and bringing even more questions so that our viewers continue to dive into God's Word. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, thank you. And we also want to thank you, the viewers, for watching and sending in your questions. Remember, you can call and leave a voicemail. You can text us. You can do Facebook, Instagram. You can also do video on demand. Just visit the website, hopetv.org/BibleHelpDesk or YouTube channel. This was a great time, Reuben.
Absolutely.
From resurrection to repentance to forgiveness to how the Lord is going to come to worship. Man, this was a full program.
We really dove into God's word. Yeah. I'm really excited about it.
Praise Absolutely. God. So wherever you are, remember to tune in Bible Help Desk on Hope Channel. See you guys later.
Take care.
Take care. Bye.